You are listening to the World Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. And now, Imam W.D. Muhammad. The Sensemaker presents Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W.D. Muhammad. This new book is must-reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling to The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W.D. Muhammad, The Sensemaker. The following lecture by Imam Muhammad is entitled The Quran as the Foundation for Society, Part 3, recorded January 12, 1992.
Now I want to go back where, with that statement that I made about our hope being the hope, same hope that we identify as the hope of humanity. And we identify this hope in the progression of Scripture, not just Scripture to Muhammad, but as Allah says in the Quran, Scripture also before Muhammad. that we believe in the Scripture revealed to Muhammad, and also that was revealed before him. Now, let me make this very clear, which I believe most of us know, but some of us I don't think we have registered. It is not only talking about the Bible that came before the Quran. It didn't say the Torah or the Old Testament and the Injil, the Gospel. It didn't say that. It says, and believe in that was revealed before you, meaning the Muhammad the Prophet, or before your time. It means all Scripture, going back to Adam. If Adam received the word, it includes that. Whatever God has revealed to human beings in the whole time of the life of man and society on this earth, we have to acknowledge it and say we believe in that too. Though we don't even have it anymore, we can't go and find it and read it, but we must believe in it. When we believe like that, what it does for us? It puts our soul, our spirit, and our mind in good situation. But when we got a big dark area hanging behind us, it burdens the spirit. It burdens us, and we are not even aware of it. The Quran frees us in many ways that most of us will never know. Yes, let me continue now. The hope of humanity. I have here also, I say human creation's tradition of excellence is man's hope. That's his hope. There's a traditional excellence that we see evolving from the most primitive or the most backward days of man to the most modern or to the most advanced days of man. We see a tradition of excellence. Excellent behavior on the part of the family, the children, everybody. Excellent behavior on the part of the professional people, the builders, the grocery people, the commercial people. Excellence on the part of government. Excellence. This is the excellence that we hope for. It's evolving. It gets better and better all the time. Though we are now perhaps a burden more than human beings have been burdened any other time, but our burden now is more the burden of stress. Stress. We are living a stressful life, perhaps more so than the human beings have ever lived on the whole any other time in the life of man. But that doesn't mean that our conditions are worse. Our conditions are better now than at any other time than we could read of or imagine. Yes. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. We have plenty. And especially we. Now, a term in Scripture, light, is found in Genesis and also in the Quran. So I'm going to go to Genesis and see, can we interpret this term light? Genesis says, darkness was covering everything. There was only darkness. The earth was void, without form, and the darkness, everything dark. Says, and God says, and there was darkness upon the waters. The waters was dark. And darkness says, let there be, God says, let there be light, and there was light. So where did the light appear? In the water. Says the Spirit moved along the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Quran mentions water and darkness also. It gives a parable and it says the likeness of the darkness is as the water. Darkness upon darkness. Levels of darkness. Now those who have stood by deep water, a lake, even a pond sometimes, or a lake at night when it's very dark, and you look at the water, you can see that on the top of the water is lighter, and the darkness is more, is depth. The deeper you go, the darker it is to your eyes. And I guess this is very dark down there. The depth is, the dark, is very dark. It says that the Spirit moved on the face of the water. Now I'm doing an interpretation here. You can accept it or reject it. That's not what I'm working for. I didn't come here to work for you to accept or reject me. All right. Now, it says moved upon the face of water. So let us see the face of the water now as the part having the most light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything became light, right? Everything became light. So he rose up a light, light for the day, and he set in the heavens the light for the night. Now, we know that to be the sun and the moon. So here we must understand then also that the sun and the moon in Scripture are not really that sun out there, and that moon we may see tonight. It's talking about another sun and the moon. Though God, we did make that physical sun that we see in the day when the clouds are permit us, are not there, or permit us to see, and we, that moon and night. We know God made that, but what do we need a prophet to come tell us that for? Primitive man running around in the cave. If he had a name for God, he'd go, oh God, oh God. You know, if it was too hot for him, oh God, cool it, cool it. So we didn't need no great prophet, no great mind, no super intelligence to come and tell us God made the sun and God made all this. Man knows that by nature. His nature tells him that something did this and bigger than I am must be God. He calls it something by some name, and when we interpret that name, we find that he means a God. Now I'm coming to another term, kingdom. People have hoped for a kingdom, a righteous and just kingdom to come. And in both scriptures, this hope is addressed. In the Bible, a prayer is given, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does the Quran address this kingdom? As the throne. And it was recited today by Imam at the beginning of the meeting. It is addressed as the throne. And the Quran says of the throne that his throne, meaning Allah's throne or God's throne, extends over the heavens and the earth. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That his throne extends over the heavens, the skies. سَمَاوَاتِ doesn't mean heavens. Heavens is English. سَمَاوَاتِ means the skies. Literally translated, correctly translated, his heaven expands the skies, his throne, pardon me, expands the skies and the earth. وَالْأَرْضِ and the earth. And there's more there to that, but that's outside of this subject. which I don't like to talk about, because we need it bad in this world. But I'm not going to burden you with more time. I'll give you too much outside of it. I'm trying to stay within the limits of this talk. Now, so kingdom. What is a man's hope for a kingdom? We're talking about man's hope, the traditional hope of the human excellence of man, that tradition of human excellence. It also is the hope of man. And I'm saying again that a kingdom, a certain kingdom, is the hope of man. And all of these are things. When we hope for that traditional excellence to become better and better and be fulfilled for us on earth, I'm saying that it's the same expressed, is the same or interpreted, is the same as the hope for a kingdom, that special kingdom to come on earth. And also, it is the same as that hope for life. Now, the Genesis doesn't say man was hoping for life, but God saw his condition and said, God said, let there be life. And there was life. It is the same as the hope for life. All this is the same. Now, I want to come to something else. It is destiny. Destiny. Also called divine destiny. I'm saying that that's another term or another expression for that same hope. In the tradition of classical civilization, which is nothing but another language of classical scripture. I don't have the Quran. I was going to raise the Quran up. This is not the Quran. It's supposed to be put down and the Quran raised up. Now, let me continue. Now, the destiny. What is the destiny? Do we have a term for this destiny? Yeah, here's the Quran. Yes. So it is the same. The Quran and the scripture will have one language and civilization has another, but it's the same. This destiny in Islamic Quranic term is called Al-Akhirah. 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 What is Al-Akhirah? It is the translated by translators as the hereafter. It is translated also as the hereafter. The latter, a more direct translation is given as a latter, the latter. The former will be al-awl in Arabic, and the latter will be al-akhirah, the latter. So it's translated like that. And hereafter is not Quranic, hereafter is not Arabic, hereafter is English. Understand that. There's nothing in this word that says hereafter. This word says latter, the end, the latter, what's coming later. That's all it says, what's coming later. Former and what's later, or former and the latter. What is the latter, or the end, or the death that's coming, yet to come? What is that for us in another expression? The future. That's what it means, the future. We should believe in the future, but not just any future. It is the future that God intends for us. We should have faith in the future that God intends for us. So this word, al-akhirah, if I was going to translate the Quran, and I do plan to do that, and I am doing it piece by piece, or bit by bit as I can find time, and as God blesses me to do it, I would translate this term, not hereafter, I would say those who believe in the future. And in my commentary, I would say the future designed for man by God. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater. I'm saying that to the wise and to the fools. That means Allah is greater. Yes. You know, some of the people who have the biggest idea of their own wisdom are the biggest fools you can find.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's M-A-C-A, the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
Now I'm going back to the Bible, to the New Testament. Again, speaking of that kingdom, the promise of a kingdom to come. And I want you to quickly look at the expressions of that in the prophets, John and Jesus. Peace be upon John and Jesus Christ. John came alarming the people, didn't he? According to the New Testament, this is not Islam, this is not the Quran. We know the Quran presents it differently. John came alarming the people. Repent! Why he wanted them to repent and in a hurry. The kingdom of God is coming. See, we forget sometimes that it wasn't Jesus who announced the kingdom of God. It was John who announced the kingdom of God. And then Jesus came as a sign. And Jesus, the prophet Jesus Christ, he demonstrated in his own action. He demonstrated what should be the spirit of that kingdom of God. He started bringing to the conscience of people, even his own people, the Jews, who thought of themselves as the favorite people, and I'm using the language, the common language. You know, we don't say Jesus was a Jew. Technically speaking, no prophet of God was a Jew.
Right.
Technically speaking. No prophet of God. Now, I'm technically speaking. I'm speaking as a Muslim now. Now, you all will allow me to speak as a Muslim too, right? Okay. Technically speaking, no prophet was a Christian. Technically speaking, every prophet was no more than what we are, a Muslim. And what is a Muslim? We introduced the Muslim in the very beginning of this talk when we introduced the tradition of human excellence. That is the Muslim. Just the human excellence of man, that's Muslim. And God ain't asked nobody to do nothing for him unless they were first in that human excellence.
That's right.
So before going on from here, I want to make it clear again that by future and hereafter and destiny, we are talking about the hope for the traditional excellence of humanity, of man, to be fulfilled on this earth. Now I come to another expression, faith. Faith. F-A-C-E. We read in Scripture where the hope of man is also, we say man, we mean woman and man. A society, that's what we mean when we say man. We mean society, which is woman and man. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
See, you picked it up right quick. I see that. I got his vibe from behind me there. And that's not spooky, that's real. That's human too. Yes, so we look in Scripture, Scripture before Quran. Scriptures before the gospel, before the New Testament. And we read where the hope of the oppressed people was to see the face of their Lord, the face of God. What did face mean to them? You think they were asking to see the face of a white man? No. That's not what they were hoping for. When they were talking about the face of God, they were talking about just what you say to each other when you're speaking of somebody that you miss, or somebody that you wish was still living, or somebody that you wish was near you in your town that's in down south somewhere to help you in your moments of great need. And you say, if I could only see her face.
Right.
You don't mean her physical face. You mean her presence. And you want her presence because she has something that you need in her makeup to comfort you, or in her treatment that you need. So that's why. So when people say they wanted to see the face of God, they wanted to see God's presence. And his presence was just not for his presence per se. No, they wanted his presence because his presence provided what they need. They felt that his presence would fulfill their need. And they were talking about what? Kingdom. What is kingdom? Rule. R-U-L-E. So when they said they wanted to see the face of God, they meant we want to see the rule of God on earth. We are sick and tired of this oppressive rule.
Right.
We want to see God's rule on this earth. We see your face, O King.
That's right.
And we don't like it.
Right.
See, face mirrors the person's makeup to you and tells you what you can expect from that person. You know, when you go to the person and you need some first thing you want to do, I want to look at his face. Hey, man, turn around. Man, look at me, man. Talk to me, baby. Look at me. Don't turn your head. You want to read that face. So I'm saying that face is just another symbolic term representing the just order, the just rule, the just government that the people hope for on this earth. Now, isn't that a great disservice to that powerful message to show the people a white man and say that's what they were hoping for? Now, I'm not prejudiced against a white man. You know that. I risk your love and your allegiance to tell you that that's wrong. Now, just so we know what time of day it is, I'm going to kind of change, go off from the subject. What they call it, digress a bit, huh? Yeah, digress. You know, sometimes you have to walk away from it and pick up something and then bring what you saw over there you need back to the path of direction and keep going. Now, just to show you what time of day it is, while the white European American, and every time I use white and black, please see quotation marks. Because white in the dictionary means pure. It means light. It means a whole lot of things that most white people are not. And black in the dictionary means ignorant, bored, empty, dead, dull, sinful, and a whole lot of, and much more that I can't repeat our quote. That just can't apply to most black people. To some, yes, but not to the many. Now, while we are celebrating almost, now I know most of our political leaders, they are not celebrating. Black caucus, they are not celebrating yet. Black caucus members, they are not celebrating it. Most of our popular preachers in the churches, they are not celebrating it. Some of our oppressed imams, they ain't celebrating it. But I know I am, and a group that's with me, we celebrate a change for the better in America. We recognize that we are living in a better situation today than we were living in 30 years ago. We are not going to close our eyes to that reality. But while we differ maybe in the way that we respond to change for the better on the part of the behavior of whites, in quotation always, we do share the burden of a continuation of that old misrepresentation and mistreatment of us. The Japanese, and I won't explain for them why they do this, but we know the Japanese have been guilty of reawakening some racist idea about us. are giving support to some of the diehard racists, you know, with the language they use and the expressions they make. And we read where they have Sambo dolls, popular Sambo dolls, being sold in Japan. So we just can't say that this problem is over. It ain't over. We celebrate change for the better, but we realize there's still work to do. Not on them. That's the mistake that most of our leaders make. Time is out for asking for more change in them. On us! Now, we should realize also that, and by the way, I try to catch Tony Brown's journal as often as I can. And that's where I got this information about the Japanese selling dolls, Sambo dolls. Tony Brown, my little short brother that's awfully tall.
That's right.
Now, this is important, too, that we realize this, that there have always been good Caucasian, European-American, white people in this part of the world, in the New World. They didn't just come here. They always been here. They were oppressed, too, when a majority of them did the evils and were successful in establishing the order of the white supremacy that they were successful in. Their own people were oppressed, too. They never liked it. And many of them have died from the start of that evil to the finish of that evil. Many of them died. John Brown is one of them. They call him a madman. But he died because he was fed up with that evil, and he wanted to make a physical demonstration, sacrifice himself and whoever would help him fight it for the sake of demonstrating his rage at something even existing like that in the country. Now, not only that, these people we call white, they didn't just start accepting us. Look, when we were free, according to history, the first church headed by one of our people was established in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by Richard Allen, and it's called the first African people's church in America. He established it, and from the moment he established, he began preaching, his congregation was not just black or just recently liberated people from slavery. No, he attracted also whites. They described his congregation as being a congregation that had an appreciable mix of both black and white. That tells you a lot. How many of us would have the courage, if we were white, to go and join a congregation of a black man who had just been liberated from slavery that most of the whites thought was a monkey and should still be in chains? How many of us, if we were white, would have the courage to go and listen to that man preach?
Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.
End of side 3. Please fast forward the cassette to the end before continuing with part 4.
You are listening to the World Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. And now, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. The Sensemaker presents Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. This new book is must reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling to The Sense Maker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sense Maker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W.D. Muhammad, The Sense Maker.
The following lecture by Imam Muhammad is entitled The Quran as the Foundation for Society, Part 4, recorded January 12, 1992.
Look, when we were free, according to history, the first church headed by one of our people was established in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by Richard Allen, and it's called the first black or African people's church in America. He established it, and from the moment he established it, he began preaching. His congregation was not just black or just recently liberated people from slavery. No, he attracted also whites. They described his congregation as being a congregation that had an appreciable mix of both black and white. That tells you a lot. How many of us would have the courage, if we were white, to go and join a congregation of a black man who had just been liberated from slavery that most of the whites thought was a monkey and should still be in chains? How many of us, if we were white, would have the courage to go and listen to that man preach? So what I'm saying to you, that we need to give intelligent study to the behavior of white people, not just bad whites, but good whites. And it's more important now for us to give make a study of the behavior of good white people in the history, because we know all about the bad, and there are people ain't gonna do nothing but talk about the bad. So we don't have to do that. We need to focus on the thing that they're not focusing on, the good people in our history, and especially the good whites that died, many of them, because they wanted to demonstrate their moral rage. We're getting there. I don't have to catch a plane today, so you know. If I'm rushing today, it's for your sake, not mine. I'll leave that be. I went over there and I got what was over there on the side of the road. And I picked up what I thought to be needed for this direction. And now we're back on course, okay? Now, within the theme, the Quran as the foundation of society, for society. Let me continue. The Quran speaks of the face of God, the throne of God, but also of the face of God. And in the Quran, which is the word of God, unchanged, perfect, God also speaks of his face. And he says that there's come the time when nothing shall exist. Everything is going to perish and vanish, but the face of God, the Most High. All right, let's move on. Now, we gave Genesis, right? We gave some reference from Genesis. Now let me give something that I think is a kind of Genesis language, if not Genesis, because we have nothing called Genesis. For us, the Genesis is Quran. Yeah. That's the Genesis. The whole Quran for us is Genesis. And a Genesis that represents the second birth, the life that will remain. is not going away. Man is born, he dies, but if he lives again, he lives without dying. So we believe that once we live in Islam, obeying the Quran, following the example in the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, that we have the life that will not perish and will not die. That is for us eternal life. Now you can have some stirrings inside you if you like. But I don't have any stirrings inside me. I'm perfectly at peace. Yes. Yes. Now, we have some language in the Quran that suggests to me a kind of Genesis. And I'm going to start with that language now. Allah explaining how this religion comes about, al-Islam, how the Quran itself comes about, how the religion itself comes about. He tells us that this religion is not an unconnected happening. This is no unconnected occurrence. As concerns scripture itself, Quran, Bible, and other scriptures, it is a fulfillment, a completion for that long history or tradition of revelation. It is a completion or a fulfillment. As for the prophets, it is also a fulfillment. It is their hope. The prophets had a hope. They had a hope that God would fulfill his promise on the people. So for them, it is also fulfillment. And what is the language for us, cast in that? Speaking of Muhammad, he is enough for humanity. Enough, what is he referring to? Enough for humanity. Is he referring enough as a general in the army? Enough as a statesman in the government? Yes, but much more. Man has hoped for the fulfillment of human excellence in one of his children so that that child can establish the order God intended. And Muhammad is enough. Telling man, stop hoping for another son. Stop hoping for another child. You got enough in this man to fulfill your hopes on this earth. Half it and live now. He's enough for the whole of humanity as their hope for a son. And what Jesus was a sign of, wasn't it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Says, and that he, the government will be upon his shoulders. Right? Meaning Jesus Christ. Peace be upon him. The government will be upon his shoulders. So here's a hope for a man, a son, that will be able to support, carry the idea of government that was the dream or the aspiration of humanity since we have been on this earth. And the Quran is saying that Muhammad is not just a sign of this, he is the fulfillment of that or this. Where do we see the connection now? This is not an unconnected happening. I mean, Quran, Islam, the Muslim society. It is not an unconnected happening. It is an occurrence within the great tradition of human excellence. It is an occurrence within the progression of scripture, etc. Within the evolution of society itself. It says of this religion, or of this way, the Muslim life, the Islamic life, calls it Deen al-Fitra. Deen means religion, or translated religion. Al-Fitra literally means originality. Originality. Fatra means origin. Origin. Fatir, originator, one of the names of God. Allahu, he is El Fatir, the originator.
So?
Fitra means an order or state that represents originality. Originality. To help you understand what we're talking about, God made man according to Scripture. I'm talking about popular Scripture. He made him perfect. He made him as a shining creation. And he didn't put him in hell. He put him in paradise called Garden and gave him responsibility for everything, for all around him. Now, that was a man with tremendous ability if God trusted him to take care of everything around him. And when you read in both Quran and Bible what God is talking about, you get that feeling that that was a tremendous person that God created. In the Bible, the paradise is reflected in a great and high civilization that was existing in ancient times. See, and the earth was rich, and the herbage, the vegetation and the growth was all rich and beautiful, and the streams were pure, the rivers were great and pure, and the civilization was high. It was a high heightened civilization, and the height and environmental excellence. Yes, paradise on earth. Yes, and the Quran says that God sakhara. He made useful of utility for man. He brought it down. He brought it within man's grasp, within man's reach, within man's capacity, within his potential, within his ability to utilize the things in the sky, the things in the earth. God says that he made them all to be utility for man. Isn't that wonderful? He made the things we see in the sky and the things we see in the earth, the fertile ground, the plants and everything, and the animals, all to be utility for man, to be utilized for the goodness and for the betterment and for the good future of human society. How inspiring that is. The dead can come to life just by registering that alone.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's M-A-C-A, the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
Deen al-Fitra, the religion of originality. Established on the pattern, fitratul ladhi fatra an-nasa alayha. It is that originality that God patterned man upon. So man's evolution as an intelligent being aspiring for better life, better excellence, better life, better condition, that is a growth or an evolution from something that God created. And that is that originality. God gave man the originality upon which he can grow. Now, when he loses that originality, then his growth falters. Instead of growing correctly and getting good benefits, it grows incorrectly and brings suffering, misery, and death. Now, we know that the man, when he was put in the garden, what was he told? Utilize everything. Now, I'm coming not from our language, this is from the Bible. Utilize everything. Eat of every tree. But of this tree, forbidden tree, do not eat. There was one that says, do not eat from that. Now, I'm not going to try to interpret what that tree was. It's enough for me to know that everything was open to man, except one thing. That's enough for me. Al-Islam comes to us now, and Allah says in the Quran that he never ordered for the prophets or for his messengers anything other than he ordered for us, the faithful, the believers. Yes. And the prophets come with a saying from himself that we are to look at when we look at that saying from God. And the prophet says that God has ordered the good things and forbidden the bad things. The same as God says in the Quran. And Prophet Muhammad also says, which I register often, especially in this society, because I think it's necessary for us to register it often, because this society says things that sound so beautiful. But if you think over it a little bit, it's the most dangerous thing you ever could tell anybody, especially dumb people. The prophet says, whatever the prophet says, whatever Allah has revealed, whatever the prophet says, it can be found in the great tradition of excellence, scripture and human life. He says, God is good and accepts only good. God is good and accepts only good. And then God says, eat of the good things. So he told the prophets this, right? To eat of the good things that God has provided. Then he told also the believers to eat of the good things that God has provided. And he says, he describes it as halal and tayyiba. Halal and tayyiba. Halal and tayyiba. Isn't this the same instruction that was given to the man in the garden? He was given to the same instruction in the garden. To eat of the good things. Eat of all of this. But only halal and tayyiba. What am I getting at? We read of a paradise and a Genesis behind us. And we don't know that now we can live it in reality. We can have that paradise now. We can have that wonderful beginning of man on this earth. Just follow the Quran and follow the ways of Muhammad the Prophet, and we will have that. So the society that we want on earth, brother, is much bigger than what we talk about in our small meeting. It's much bigger than that. It's something that we should be working for, not just for the good of Muslims, but we should do this in the interest of humanity at large. Though we first take care of home. That's an obligation. That's a natural obligation and a God obligation put on us by God. To take care first those things that are in your immediate concern. Your family, your wife, your mate, your husband, your children. Take care of that first. So we are a Muslim community. We ought to take care of our Muslim community first before we take care of other people's community. That's no more than right and natural and God and approved by God. But we will be crippling ourselves and making our own future shorter, smaller, worse for us if we don't see the big picture and realize that we are to be a help to humanity at large. And this thing is bigger than just a mosque concept. Allahu Akbar. Now let me come to another thing, a word from God. God says, Alahu al-khalq wal-amr, is not for God? Is it not God for God? The creation and the command? And now I go back to the promise of a kingdom. The promise of a just rule intended for us on this earth by God. What is one of the conditions for having that? It is a kingdom approved by God. If it's a kingdom approved by God, your laws can't be the superior laws. Your laws can't be the supreme law. Allah's law, as revealed in the scripture, must be above your law. Your law must be approved in light of the law of God. Isn't that the hope of humanity? That's not just the Muslim hope. That's the hope of humanity. Now, men made mistakes. Men before the Christians and men and the Christians made mistakes. They were well-meaning. Their leaders intended to do the right thing. But their vision was faulted. They were led astray because there was not perfect light. The light was incomplete. The light was imperfect. And Paul says in the Bible, I think it's Paul, he said, that which is in part, it goes away. But there's coming a time when that which is complete will come, and that will last always. I'm giving you my interpretation, my language, but that's what he's saying. He's saying that now we only know in part. But when that comes that is complete, we'll have no more of these problems. For us, that completion is Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, are the ways of our Prophet. You must understand that. We must understand that. We command only as Allah instructs us to command. So we hope for a day when the whole society of man will respect God's intent and God's instructions to us. All of his professions, both sides of his world, the secular side and the spiritual side, or the religious side, we hope for a day when both sides of the world will respect that. Now, we don't want the religious order or government headed by religious people like we've had in the past. Those people made the mistake of following Egypt, Pharaoh's orders, copying his ideas that the man, he becomes God on earth. Pharaoh claimed he was God. He had a great civilization. And right today, Western science and Western civilization pays respect and almost homage to the accomplishments of that ancient civilization called Egypt. But no matter how great it was, we don't want to see ancient Egyptian order on America, do we? No. We call their pharaohs idol worshippers, heathens, right? Though they had great science. They had great science, great material science. We don't look for an order like their order to come, though the pyramid is on the dollar, and the focus of light is there over the pyramid. But we know we don't hope for an order like that. We hope that America's excellent tradition of freedom, justice, equality, progress will continue, and that this democracy we have and have survived in for 200 years will continue to fulfill its promises and become even better until we all are satisfied and not burdened and not punished as citizens in this country. That's what we hope for. We're not looking for that ancient order of Egyptians. No. And we're certainly not looking for the old Church of Rome to come back into power. We're not looking for that because they persecuted the common people. They persecuted the women. They oppressed women and they oppressed the common masses. And what brought about that great ignorance and that great injustice? The belief that man is born to inherit divinity, to be a god on earth. That's what messed them up. So their king was also called the divine. This is history. He was called the divine king, holiness, thou holiness, your holiness. Not only the Pope, their great king, when the church was ruling the land. So we don't want that. But we do want the promise of God, the kingdom that he intended for man on this earth. And for it to come, we must say as those who made the mistake said. But we say it and do right. We say it and have the right vision, the right perception. We say it too, that the command must be God. Huh? Doesn't make us God. No, we are men. We are just common men, making mistakes, repenting for our sins. But we have the word of God, the rules of God, and this order is the order approved by, designed by, intended for us by God. Right. So in a sense, we do hope for a divine order on earth, a divine kingdom on earth, a divine rule on earth. We do hope for it. For the rule is always God's, according to the new Muslims. The rule is God. And the command is his. So what does that mean? How do we apply that, brother, down here on our in our little small business? We too must apply that principle in our life in the home. Sister, you should want the order of God in your house. You should want to run your family according to the word of God. You should want to raise your children to hope for wives, to hope for husbands who will hope for homes run according to the order of God. You should want to raise your children to hope for wives, to hope for husbands who will hope for homes run according to the order of God. And when you have that, you have a unit model of the kingdom to come. You have a proof of what God promised, huh? In your house. Brothers, when we are teaching in our schools, and sisters, when you are teaching in the schools as school teachers and principals, you should be trying to run that school under the command of God, so that school becomes a model, a unit in that great order that God intends for us on this earth. And that applies to all of our aspirations, to all of our investments, to all of our involvements, to all of our concerns, to all of our business. It applies to science and everything else. Though we are medical doctors, we should try to run our medical order so that it will be a small unit of that government, that divine government that's coming. Say, hey, what kind of administration you have here? One approved by God's word, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Ah! Then it'll be halal and tayyibah. Huh? It'll be halal and tayyibah. Then it'll be a reflection of that paradise that God wants us to have. See, Muslims must understand that God, he doesn't want to shock the ignorant believers and burden them too much. They are not intellectual yet. So he says a lot of things to us that the wise, that the ignorant must grow into wisdom to understand and appreciate. But I think civilization, just the fact, you know, if you haven't been doing nothing but riding on the bus of civilization, or the truck, or the train of civilization, we have made so much progress. Now, I don't think we should have to be hesitant to tell you that God wants us to have paradise now and after.
Right. Right.
Here and hereafter.
Right.
Now and later.
Right.
And I'm telling you that it's real. God's promise is real.
Right.
And the Quran makes it possible and practical.
Yes.
And Prophet Muhammad shows us the steps plainly for all of us to see and follow. So, dear brothers and sisters, that's the meaning of Quran as the foundation of society. And we pray God forgive us all our sins and guide us always, grant us peace and prosperous families and happy families. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.